Track 12, A Chip Off the Old Block. Stephen Briggs is the third generation of his family to carve out a career helping to preserve our ancient buildings. He talked to Serena Shores.
Seeing iconic British sites such as Tower Bridge and Horse Guards Parade is impressive enough. But for Stephen Briggs, a sightseeing trip to London with his grandfather Edward was particularly special. Master Mason, Teddy Briggs, was actually showing his young grandson places where he'd worked. Teddy did his training at St. Paul's Cathedral, say Stephen, of Solhouse-based medieval masonry. We had a really good relationship, and my brother, sister and I had some very happy memories from our time together. It makes me very proud, he continues, when the lads I work with take their children around Norfolk to see the projects that they've been part of. Stephen's grandfather was the first in the family to go into masonry and was followed by Stephen's father, John, who completed two apprenticeships, one to hone his carving skills and a second for site work as a fixer mason, before working with Teddy on the Houses of Parliament. The family relocated from Essex to Norfolk soon after, and today father and son work together in the company Stephen set up in 2014, John still using some of Teddy's tools. I never intended to get into masonry, say Stephen. I had tried a few trades but had no apprenticeship. I just find myself working under my dad as a labourer, carrying stone, cleaning sites and getting the mortar ready for the masons. Soon I'd gained experience using tools for flintwork such as napping for rebuilds and repairs, particularly of churches. Stephen laughs. I have to admit, it was all-consuming once I got into it. Stephen describes his progression from labourer to flintworker as far from straightforward. His overriding desire, however, was to have his own business, incorporating all the skills, knowledge and trades involved in the repair and rebuilding of historic structures. Norfolk's multitude of listed buildings, from farmhouses to ecclesiastical ruins, provides a constant demand for highly skilled, sympathetic restoration using flint, limestone and ancient building techniques such as lime plastering and rendering and sourcing and cutting hardwood to replace ancient beams. Stephen's approach has always been to work with the building. His dedicated team's efforts are driven by a desire to preserve and strengthen our architectural heritage. When it comes to stonework, the principle is to replace like for like, says Stephen. The key is to identify which stone was used and locate the closest match. When it comes to limestone, there are lots of variants, and this is where expert knowledge comes in. When the Normans began their remarkable buildings in our area, they used limestone which was sent back from France as ballast. We are lucky that in the UK, quarries in Staffordshire, for instance, provide a very similar stone in grain, colour and hardness. For medieval masonry, churches mainly provide repair work, but the company is also heavily involved in refurbishment and extension of other old structures. The whole business is built on conservation principles, interacting with the historic fabric of what is often the oldest part of a building. Much of my job and that of my team is understanding how a building was built, but most importantly, the needs of that building, Stephen explains. Be it a church or a Tudor farmhouse, the principles and values are the same. The team provide expertise in skills such as flintwork, stonework, and even replacing the wattle and daub, which means breaking down the original infill and analysing the proportions of clay, horse manure, straw, and lime particular to that wall. Stephen's team use centuries and sometimes millennia-old tools, such as a heavy hammer for the initial break or nap of a flint, to a hammer with a fine point called a ball peen, which is used to create a variety of finishes. A flush squared hammer is used as well as a lighter cross peen hammer for delicate napping techniques. Remarkably, the best possible tool for the most intricate work are deer antlers, the very same as would have been used by miners at locations such as Grimes Graves to extract flint in the Stone Age. Stonework involves a regular set of basic chisels and mallets. Sub-carving work, which my dad is expert in, is very detailed and fine and involves a huge amount of practice, Stephen explains. The large blocks are cut using a specialised heavy saw before the detail is put in. A tracery window could take days, while basic moulding could be an hour, maybe two. Although work on new builds is always available, Stephen, his father, and team of 12 to 18 craftsmen, ranging in age from lads training from the ground up to Masons with his father's 44 years' experience are united in their determination to remain working in the restoration and refurbishment of listed buildings. "It is about our combined love of history," says Stephen. "Every single one of the lads I work with is truly passionate about it. It's ingrained in us as a company to look toward leaving a legacy for the future, to guarantee the survival of these treasures from our past, be they a church ruin in some seldom-visited village deep in the Norfolk countryside, or part of the great wall that once enclosed the unique self-governing town of Great Yarmouth in the Middle Ages."